Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good. I had a good sleep.
I know, some people did not last night. Hope everyone is feeling not too quaked out this morning.
Yeah. Oh, good one, quaked out. Haven't heard that.
Thank you. I am from Christchurch. I'm hitting this first track straight away. What are we talking about this morning, Kirsten?
Electro Clash.
This is
Fisher Spoon with the song Emerge, which is considered a pretty iconic summation of the genre. So
I gotta say, this is not a genre I am particularly au fait with, so I feel like I'm gonna learn a few things this morning.
Well, I know, like, me neither, and this happened right under our noses. We're talking the 2000 to 2010.
I lived through this genre.
Hi. Sarah knows.
Welcome. You can all guess my age.
So what is Electro Clash? What's the thing that makes it tick?
Okay. Well, I hate to describe a genre by mentioning other genre because, you know, I know half the audience is like, oh, look, I don't even know that one. But it's a mixture of synth pop, techno, punk, and new wave. But one article I read, I like the description. It was sort of seeing it as a reaction to techno.
Okay.
You know, which had become, I mean, it always was sort of emotionless, robotic, but it had become laddish and big gigs. And so in the late 1990s, you know, 2000, this was sort of back to sort of Berlin cabaret, sleazy small clubs. It was gays, it was women. So it was sort of, you know, taking, you know, some of the techno repetition, as you can hear in electronics.
Yeah.
But adding, you know, some sleaze and irony.
Nice.
And an 80s aesthetic to it.
Yeah. A big old sort of wink.
But also super, like, one of the first nods to, gosh, isn't our modern world awful? Like coming out at the same time as the new wave of a post-punk sound. So like at the same time as acts like Franz Ferdinand were being happy and angular.
Yeah.
This was like, well, the world's a bit effed up. Particularly one of the other artists we're going to play. Everybody's still been quite mistreated and really media savvy.
Interesting.
Almost like the kind of soundtrack you'd expect Adam Curtis to pinch for one of his docos.
Got ya.
Very much film music. In fact,
totally.
Looking at the film and TV credits for a lot of these tracks, it made me think that, okay, maybe it wasn't like huge hits and affecting, you know, life in that way, but it was so good at depicting the mood of the time.
Right, yeah.
Which means you want to use it in a film or video.
Got rid of like a Y2K buzz about it.
Very much.
Everyone was listening to it, but I'm a filmmaker, I want to capture this vibe.
Got you.
This is the time. It speaks for the time.
Very, very much Pitchfork darlings. All of these bands as well.
I have so many adjectives I've come across talking about it. Synthesizers and nail polish.
Hot out.
Sleazy, affectedly disaffected. Cool and seductive. Escapist. Hedonist. Grotty and gregarious.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Grotty and gregarious. Sounds like a good cabaret duo,
but debonair at the same time. So that was from Vice. I just honestly, they just must have had an adjective list going on. But a Nylon article was citing some of the critics that hated it. You know, it's not great music, its terribleness is trumped by its disregard for human decency.
let's let the last bit of Fisher Spooner smang out. I think it might be about to do something interesting, and then we'll come back with you. I wish you could see Rachel's face right now.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm unconvinced.
So this was happening at like the same time as LCD Sound System, who were infinitely more popular, but kind of more on the laddish tip.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Casey Fisher Spooner would wear eyeliner, was kind of
Well, let me tell you this. The two members, Fisher and Spooner, one's a classically trained musician, and one's an experimental theater performer and video editor.
That makes so much sense.
Okay, that does make a lot of sense.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But then they became a sort of a performance troupe and expanded to 20 people. So that tells you.
Even, wow.
That explains.
That does explain a lot. Well, I don't dislike it. I'm just not convinced yet. Do you know what I mean?
When this song rules.
Okay.
The great sentiment.
Well, it's interesting you say because, yeah, apparently reviewers of some of these bands have said they couldn't tell if it was a joke or not.
Oh, totally. There's a lot of very gimmicky stuff in there. But like most good jokes, you're getting some good satirical jabs in there while you're having a laugh.
Yes, yeah.
The repeated lyric in this song, we've moved into Ladytron now, they only want you when you're 17, when you're 21, you're no fun.
I do know this song and I do like this song. But I think it's when you start thinking about it within the rest of its genre and you're like, oh, that's the landscape that's going on at the same time.
I was
too young for this when it was having its moment, but I did kind of like have my teenage time, I think maybe in like the Hangover years of this, because I remember a lot of like Empire of the Sun songs being really big and stuff.
Yee.
Like that feels like Yee. Maybe the morning after lights on at the party, kind of like not so good.
And I think like you said, but also knowing the contrast of the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you just hear this, but if you contrast it with the other musics of the time, you're like, oh, that's why people felt the need to do this.
Yeah.
But now this band says they're not Electro Clash.
Oh, okay. How do they describe themselves?
Oh, something else. Or just music. So, you know, that's the interesting thing with talking about the genre, because, you know, are we placing that?
Yeah.
That label on them. And it's sort of, you know, you want to stand back and go, bro, that's Electro Clash. But if a band says they're not, I mean, it's the same like sexuality. Bro, you're a lesbian. No, I'm not. So, like, you know.
It's kind of, how do you want to be?
Yeah, you got to respect the person's right to identify.
Exactly. Yeah, this is cool. I like this.
And I like how it does sound like it would sound good in small underground clubs. By underground, I mean actually underground.
Yeah.
You know, not in a relationship to the music industry.
A big bunker.
Yeah. Like, it's not stadium.
No.
There's a Chilly Gonzalez documentary which documents some of the time when he was working with Peaches and they were living in Europe together and performing a lot of shows with acts like this.
Would you put Peaches in an Electro Clash?
I would. The stuff she was putting out at the same time as Ladytron and Fisher Spooner.
Yes, I've seen her listed. You know who else I saw sort of semi-included was Lady Gaga.
Interesting.
So, you know, the sort of pop version of it, you know?
That would kind of coincide with what I was saying about that maybe being a teenager in the very later years of Electro Clash. I can see a bit of, you know, Bad Romance.
Yeah, because
maybe.
She does have the like sleaze and the electronica, you know, aspect of without the techno, you know, so
I think if this came on at like 3 a.m. when you're out in Berlin, that would be a very good.
It's heavy. It's always heavy with cynicism. A lot of skepticism of how technologically infiltrated our lives are becoming. Peaches, for example, now makes art projects out of fleshlights. Just always on the line of, is this a joke? But is it really accurate commentary on where we're headed?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what a fleshlight is?
Kirsten.
Not at this time
of
the morning.
It is a device for...
Don't Google it.
For self-love. Usually only for... anyway,
Don't Google it,
no, do. It's amazing. Look up Peaches Fleshies Project.
Oh, I was going to say, Google that, but don't.
It's amazing.
Be careful where you're Googling fleshlight.
We've had a couple of questions about New Zealand artists that might fit in this.
Okay.
Lady Hawk and the Naked and Famous. Would we put either of those in this kind of ring?
They probably came a little bit later and were probably a bit too pop and a bit too happy.
So is like a key pillar of Electro Clash, this big cynicism thing, do you reckon?
Potentially. And can you see it being played in an underground bar with lots of eyeliner, neon tights from American Apparel and sweat?
Mm.
And fem-bodied people wearing gaffer tape.
Yes.
I think that's the outfit you wear, isn't it?
Just yes.
Bits of tape.
We've moved away from American artists now, though.
Yeah, so it did have this... It did start in Europe, and then American DJs moving to Europe, so literally Berlin, let's be honest, it's Berlin thing, which is, and you can hear it. This is a French producer, but then in 2002, they started an Electroclash festival back in America. So it did have this kind of duality of linking Europe and America, you know, which doesn't always happen, so it's good.
And this is interesting being included in this, because I always would have put Vitalik in almost French touch as a genre.
Oh. But you can hear, I mean, you know, just listening to the three songs, you
totally
can hear the cluster.
Yeah. It does, I can't quite explain what kind of a weird headspace this music's put me in, but... It wasn't where I was expecting to...
It's a mood.
...to be on a Friday morning.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good earthquake music.
This is Vitalik from 2005's OK Cowboy.
Oh, they had a cowboy phase back then as well. It all comes in waves.
OK Cowboy. Now, also, these are very visual acts, so the videos, and it's a very 1980s aesthetic. So, you know, this is, you know, it does have the link with performance art and visual art. And so maybe we're not doing it, you know, full service here, because maybe it's meant to have the visual as well, you know?
Fauxhawks, like, is that a thing to you'd get with this? Kind of like big, campy My Little Pony kind of fauxhawks, you know? Maybe not. For some reason, that's the image I've got in my head right now. Trying to piece together.
Well, we don't need to hear everything you think, right? Bohawks and My Little Pony. Oh, I don't know what kind of dreams you have at night, but...
Oh, lockdown dreams are a different thing, eh?
Oh, yeah, true.
Is there any kind of, like, sort of, like... You know how sometimes a genre is linked by the instruments that are used? Obviously, this is very synth-heavy, but is there any sort of, like, particular type of synth or plug-in or anything that people were using? Or was it just, like, you use what you've got to get the sound?
It's interesting. I didn't read anything, but now that we're listening to these in a row, you can kind of hear particular sort of saw waves or whatever. But they didn't seem to be a genre that's obsessed, you know, with the, it's the 800-5000. You know, that I didn't read that sort of, you know, discourse, but that doesn't mean they don't have...
Yeah.
You know, still to end up using that stuff.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed this trip to the 2000s. Yeah, I think so. I started off feeling unconvinced. I feel like I'm on board with the buzz. Maybe it's not my buzz, but I respect the buzz.
Yeah, I think it really captures a certain time, place, and people.
Yeah.
You know, I like that about it.
It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
Oh, people are saying it's ready for a revival now.
Yeah.
You know, that 20-year cycle.
Yeah. When the list of songs came through, I just looked at it and went, I feel old.
Miss Kitten and the Hacker, someone's texted it in.
Yes, yeah. Again, another really core track, sounds.
So what are you going to be bringing us next week, Kirsten?
Okay, as usual, we're going high contrast here. We're going to do gospel.
Hey. Oh,
really from one end of the spectrum to the other. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Get ready for some praising.
Thank you very much for bringing us Electro Clash this morning, Kirsten. I feel like I'm truly in the basement now. It's great. Have a lovely rest of your Friday morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.